Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take my words and speak through them, take our hearts and speak to them, that each of us may hear your word today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So if you read your bulletins, you'll see that Father Brian is preaching this morning, but don't believe everything you read in the church bulletin. For various reasons, we've swapped over. Now, last week and this week, John the Baptist featured in our gospel reading. John the Baptist, the messenger who goes before Jesus, the one who prepares the way for Christ. And he is often taken, because of that phrase, as a model for Christian ministry, preparing the way for Christ. Now, most of you will know that I was not ordained in America, but in the church in Wales. And I served there for 30 years in different capacities. And something that happens in Wales, but doesn't happen in the Episcopal Church, is that the third Sunday in Advent is always chosen as a day to preach about vocation. Vocation to the ministry, and very often the sermons that I've preached on this Sunday in the last 40 years or so have been about vocation and calling. Particularly appealing to people to consider a vocation for ordination. Now, for me, that always felt too specialized a sermon, because only a few of us are called to be ordained. Maybe more than realize it, but still only a few. And vocation is not something that applies only to clergy. It applies to all of us. And for some of us, our vocation may be a lifelong calling that will affect all our time, like it does for clergy. For others, it might be a calling that is short-term, for a few years, for a few weeks even. It may be for a few hours, and it may be regularly. It might be sporadic. And it may be that there is more than one call on your life. So I have got written down here my first question for you. Do you have a calling? Do you have a vocation? And the answer is yes, you do. If you are a Christian, you have a call from God. You may deny it, you may run away from it, you may ignore it, but you have a calling. And it's not just me that says that. It's the Episcopal Church. It's written into our prayer book. If you were to turn to page 531, you don't need to because I'm going to read it to you, but there you'll find one of the services that we rarely use, the ordination of priests. And in that ordination, the bishop has an examination of those he's proposing to ordain. And he starts off by saying this: my brother or sister, the church is the family of God, the body of Christ, and the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, all baptized people are called to make Christ known as Savior and Lord, and to share in the renewing of his world. So there we are, we have it from our prayer book. We are all called. So if you think you don't have a call, then one of several things. You may be ignoring it. You may be denying it. You may be running away from it. Or you may simply be failing to hear it. And if you're failing to hear it, it might be because you're not even listening for it. And that may be because nobody ever told you that you should be listening for it. Well, unless you've been asleep for the last couple of minutes, you've no longer got that excuse. Our call is to make Christ known as Saviour and Lord and to share in the renewing of his world. And that might mean all sorts of things. It might mean that people who are committed to combating climate change see that as their call from God in renewing his world. But it's a very general phrase, isn't it? It's general because it's applying to all of us, but all of us have a more specific call as well. And we need to discern that call and to work out what it is. For me, for Father Brian, and all other priests, it's laid out in what I started to read in the prayer book, because it goes on. Now you are called to work as pastor, priest, and teacher, together with your bishop and fellow presbyters, and to take your share in the councils of the church. As a priest, it will be your task to proclaim by word and deed the gospel of Jesus Christ and to fashion your life in accordance with its precepts. You are to love and serve the people among whom you work, caring alike for young and old, strong and weak, rich and poor. You are to preach, to declare God's forgiveness to penitent sinners, to pronounce God's blessing, to share in the administration of holy baptism and in the celebration of the mysteries of Christ's body and blood, and to perform the other ministrations entrusted to you. In all that you do, you are to nourish Christ's people from the riches of his grace and strengthen them to glorify God in this life and in the life to come. So that's the nearest thing I've got to a full job description. But that's for the priest. What about the rest of us? I've already mentioned the first question. Do you have a vocation? Yes, you do. Secondly, do you know what that vocation is? And the answer will probably be as varied as the number of people here. How do you find that vocation? You do so by seeking God in prayer, in listening, and in asking and waiting for the answer. And a vocation may be something that is much wider than the church. Clergy tend to narrow their thinking and think about the church, but God's kingdom is much wider than that. And so driving an ambulance as a volunteer or researching a cure for cancer may be as much a part of a vocation in God's kingdom, and maybe even more, than it is to be chair of a church's finance committee. But I'm going to focus a little bit on the church today. There are all sorts of areas where you might be called to serve. We have numerous outreach ministries, volunteering in our thrift shop or our food pantry, taking things to the homeless in New York City with Mary and the Peanut Butter Jelly Ministry, and locally, working with Daughters of the King, or more domestically, being part of our altar guild, running our Christmas fair, selling our Christmas trees. Well, you'll have to wait till next year. It might be taking part in our committees that look after our buildings and our grounds, or our finances, or our vestry. And incidentally, we elect our vestry in January each year, and this year we will have 3, maybe 4 vacancies on that vestry to fill. So maybe God's calling you to fill that vacancy. If he is, speak to one of the wardens, or to me, or Father Brian, or a vestry member. We'd love to hear from you. There are all sorts of things that God might be calling you to do, and I could go on and on with that list. How do we discern vocation? And I want to tell you a little bit of my own experience in how I felt my vocation to be a priest. Not because I want you to think how wonderful I am, you can think that anyway, but don't take me seriously, but because it might be an example of how you seek God's calling. I grew up as the son of a priest, the nephew of two priests, the grandson, the great-grandson of a priest, and so on. My father, his two brothers, their cousin, my great-uncle, were all priests in my family. And though I never knew them because they died before I was born, my grandfather and back at least six generations. It's the kind of family where my father's cousin ran away from home and got a job in a bank because he couldn't face telling his father he didn't feel called to be ordained. The kind of family where you're always aware of that possibility, and it's often suggested to you by other people. You know, you're in school one day, and you're having a lesson where the teacher says, "And what are you going to do when you grow up? Hugh, will you be a priest like your father?" And you just cringe with embarrassment and die on the spot. It's a possibility that always was there for me. But then when I was 13, my life changed because within 6 months, both my parents died after quite long illnesses. And with their death, something else died, and that was my faith. I still carried on going to church. My family and my school made sure of that. But what died was my belief in a loving God. And it's only in later years, when I went to university and I shared a room with somebody who had a strong Christian faith, that I began to work out what Christianity meant for me. And I discovered that God did love me. I discovered that he had always loved me, even though I was unaware of it. And I came back to the faith stronger than I had been before, knowing, as somebody put it to me once, that I have my own relationship with God, not relating through my family. With that rediscovery of faith, there came a rediscovery of vocation, because that same suggestion that I ought to be ordained kept coming back to me. I discussed it with others, people who went to church with me, people I knew at university, and they all encouraged me to pursue that vocation. And so I decided to do so. I felt a great sense of unworthiness, and people told me very clearly, "Well, yes, you are unworthy. We all are. None of us are worthy of God's call. God calls us, and that's the only reason to go forward." So I decided to speak to my parish priest about it. He said he would arrange for me to meet the bishop, and then he forgot all about it. Clergy do that kind of thing sometimes, myself included.
Never happens here.
Myself included. So, I had also mentioned it in my family, and into that story my Aunt Mary came in, because she was a clergy widow, and she, from time to time, would meet the Bishop of Llandaff, where the area I had grown up in but not lived in for years. And out of the blue, I had a letter from the bishop. It said, "I understand that you are thinking about ordination. Your aunt has mentioned this to me, and that you will be visiting her and staying with her in a month's time. I would like to see you and talk about ordination with you then." Now, that letter was very significant because it confirmed to me what I was thinking. It confirmed that my call was coming through the church and not just something that I felt myself. And that to me is an important part of testing a vocation, Do those who know me well and share my faith and pray with me think I have a vocation? And does the church in its wider councils feel I have that vocation? Now, I could go on and tell you an awful lot more about how I got to where I am and how God calls me, but there's a clock on that wall and I'm very aware of it. So I'm not going to say much more. But vocation is something we all share. That vocation will change from time to time. For a period in my life, it was within parishes in Wales. For a period, it's been in America. For the last year or so, it's been as your interim priest. How do we discover that vocation? Is by listening out for God's call, praying about it, talking about it, hearing it, and then acting on it. So I want to commend to you the fact that as a baptized Christian, you have a vocation. The difficulty sometimes is finding it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.